Hi.
We're back.
We are back.
Once again. We're a little bit later this week, but that's
fine. Sorry.
That's fine. We're here. The important part is we're here.
You know. It'd be like that.
It do be like that. And it's probably going to be Saturday when you guys are hearing this. So happy weekend.
Happy weekend.
Happy weekend.
It is the first week of the new year.
Oh,
you know, we're in the year of the dragon.
Are we really? Mm-hmm. That's dope.
I was born in the year of the dragon.
Of course.
This is my year.
This is my year.
What? Do you know the Chinese zodiac?
I don't.
What year were you born?
I don't know any zodiac.
Wait.
94.
I'm going to have to look.
Okay.
I'm
gonna have to look. All I know is I'm a Gemini. That's the only, like...
You're a total Gemini, too.
I'm crazy.
Listen, I eat that shit up.
Someone told me once, they were like, knowing that you're a Gemini makes me like Geminis a little more because most of them are incredibly
insane.
Yeah,
they get
insane.
Geminis get shit on a lot. And I have several Geminis in my life that I adore.
We are insane. I did kind of laugh in her face because I was like, I actually am crazy. I'm just not showing you my crazy, so...
I have to look up your Chinese.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Stay tuned, guys.
Oh, you're the dog. You love dogs.
I do like dogs.
Boone loves you.
Boone loves me. Dogs like me. Cats don't like me.
Really?
But dogs
like
me.
Well, it's probably you're the dog.
You're the dog. They can smell it.
They know.
You smell like a Chinese dog.
Cats are something else.
They're touchy. They're real, like...
Anyway, we digress.
We're back. So today, if you couldn't tell by our super relaxed manner in the format of this episode, it is a mini-sode.
It's a mini-sode. We're here to gab, gossip.
All of that. So if you haven't already listened to our mini-sode reviewing the curious case of Natalia Grace, go back and do that.
You should definitely go back and listen to it.
Yes.
Because it is, this is the sequel.
Yes, because they just released another season with Natalia's point of view. I have not watched it, but guess who has and is going to tell us all about it?
Me.
You. Mindy's going to talk today.
And if you don't know who we are, you probably shouldn't have gotten this far anyway.
We've definitely gotten out of the habit of introducing ourselves.
Yeah, I'm Mindy.
I'm Renee, and this is Cookies and Crime, where we just talk true crime and snack time. But in a mini-sode, we don't have snack time. We just do true crime.
You just hear us talk. And we're not experts in anything.
It's true. We just have strong opinions. So,
like, really strong
disclaimer,
opinions.
Don't come at us when it comes to facts, because we're probably wrong.
I mean, we might be wrong.
We talk like we're right, though, because we believe we are.
We have a lot of conviction behind what we say.
We are very passionate, very loud. I do want to point out, too, I think we need to start slipping this into our intro. For those who have listened to previous episodes and heard us, like, take breaks for ads, I want to explain that we no longer do ads. So, if you're listening to old episodes and there's, like, dead air for a second and then it comes back, like, this, we have stopped doing ads because we want it to be, I don't know.
Are annoying, to be honest.
They are. They are annoying. And honestly, to remain eligible for ads, it requires, there's a criteria there. We took a break. We're chronically ill babes sitting over here. And so, in order to pace ourselves and not feel guilty about pacing ourselves, we've stopped caring about ads. So, you're going to get 100% us the entire time, unless Spotify throws some in. I don't think they will.
Mm,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think if we don't set it up, they don't do ads. So, we will be launching a membership this year.
Yes, we are scheming. We're actually scheming a lot today about things that we want to add to the membership.
We have so many good ideas.
Yeah, we're very excited, and we hope some people join.
Yes, we're going to add video content, too, both on the membership and for free for you guys, because we like you.
Also, I just want you guys to know that we, like, read any comments.
We do.
And, like, if you listen to on Spotify and, like, answer the questions or, like, comment, we, like, read.
Pure gold.
We read your comments, and, like, we very much appreciate it. And there was some person out there that also doesn't like touching wet food when they're doing dishes. And, like, I love you. Because,
whoever you are, you're heard. You're seen.
You're seen. Get yourself a pair of rubber kitchen gloves if you don't already have one. You can get them on Amazon.
Life hack.
Seriously. Mindy it's a
style.
Life changer.
Yeah.
Life
yeah.
changer. And so then you don't have to take all your rings off. You can
it's
keep
true.
Them on.
It's true.
Like.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true. So
there's no other way.
There's no other way.
Truly.
It's the only way to do dishes is with gloves.
Okay.
It's
well,
true. So this has been a
just
good
wanted to say that.
Mid-intro. Yeah. Yeah. We're probably going to have a mini-sode coming up where we go through and reminisce about all of our previous episodes and then talk about the questions and answers.
Also, because it's, like, fun because, like, you know, this started out just, like, you and me talking together.
Yeah.
And now, like, other people.
People care about our voices.
Wild.
I don't know why.
Wild.
I don't get it personally.
We love it.
We love
it. We love you.
We love to hear it. We love to hear you hear us. So, all right.
Okay.
Tell us
oh my God,
about
oh
the
my
follow
God.
Up to the Curious Case
so,
of Natalia
okay,
Grace.
Okay, but before you all listen to this, like, you have to...
At least listen to our previous
yeah,
episode
Yeah, or, like,
this.
Watch, like, the season, like, the first season so
yeah.
you have, like, some context. So, essentially, like, we have this girl, Natalia Grace, who was born in the Ukraine, given up for adoption, and she was bounced around between, like, a couple different families and did end up landing in the Barnett family. This
yeah.
is Christine and Michael Barnett, along with their three sons. Now, for a little background on Christine.
She's trash.
Oh, my God, dude.
She is a psychopath.
This
Straight
woman.
Straight psychopath.
Yes. So, for a little context. So, it's really, like,
so many
there's
thoughts.
So many
How
things.
Do we
there's so many
it?
Things. Okay. So, she wrote a. So, her oldest son, Jacob, mm-hmm. is autistic.
Yes.
And
genius, kind of.
Genius.
Yeah.
So, he's on the autism spectrum, and she wrote a book called The Spark mm-hmm. That is basically like she is so empathetic and understanding, and she just sees a spark in every child, and she can help them reach their potential. She's basically a saint. Anyway, she got like a $600,000 book deal.
Yeah.
And anyway.
And she took a credit in the book, right? Like, I am the reason my kid's
Correct.
A genius. Like, basically, my parenting of this autistic child is why he is a super genius.
If we've learned anything through watching the series of, you know, documentary, it's that Christine loves Christine.
Christine's Christine's favorite person.
She do. And Michael love Michael.
Michael love...
And drama.
I hate that guy almost more than Christine.
So
I'm not even gonna lie to
it
you.
It is very difficult.
Christine, I understand Christine. Psychopath.
Straight psychopath. Like narcissistic psychopath.
Yeah. Michael is so
histrionic.
He's like fast. That's a good
histrionic.
That's one of the questions I was gonna ask.
Oh, for sure.
What
I would,
your thoughts on
if,
him were?
You know, if I were to give him a diagnosis,
yeah.
histrionic personality disorder.
She does
with
have
narcissistic
a,
features.
Just so you guys know, if you haven't listened to this before, she does have a psychology background. So in that area, you actually are kind of a professional.
I mean, I've
trained.
Got a bachelor's.
You have.
I've got
background.
A bachelor's and like half a master's. I was going into mental health counseling. And then I had a brain disease.
You decided to pick
I, like,
one of those up.
I just decided one day that like my life was a little too boring.
So she thought, I know how to make it interesting. I'm going to
get
a little
brain surgery.
Disease. It's fine.
So anyway, so I know
have,
a little.
You have more of a background than me Googling it, which that's like what most of my
Fair.
Research is. Heavy Googling.
Based on like the characteristics in the DSM.
Yes.
I would say that
he's histrionic.
Yeah, it's just very theatrical and very attention seeking.
Every time he cries, I want to punch him in his stupid face.
It is. It's just real. It's really interesting. So let's
dive
in.
Into
okay.
This.
Let's,
yeah.
We're starting at the beginning. So
yeah.
She had this book deal. You know, things are going really well for the Barnetts. They are doing really well financially. I mean, they practically live in like very upper mm-hmm. class.
Their house is nice.
Their house was nice.
Yeah.
They had like four like ultra amazing expensive cars in the mm-hmm. in the driveway.
Real bougie.
Real bougie.
Like upper middle class bougie
yes.
though. They weren't like millionaire bougie,
yes.
but
yes. So Christine feels like, you know, I bet I could adopt a kid with disabilities and like mold them into like a genius or like, you know, this could be a money making, you know, opportunity,
yeah.
which also would make me look like the greatest.
Super good. You know what's really interesting? So I did watch season one, which was basically as told from Michael's perspective. And
yes.
we already complained about that. Again, go listen to that minisode if you want my thorough opinions on that. But, like, this one, as you're saying this, that's not even a perspective that I picked up on in season one, that her motivation I figured she wanted to look like a good person. That was, like, all I assumed. But you mentioning, like, she wanted to groom another person.
This was an opportunity.
It was
a
profitable
opportunity.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's not even just reputation.
But, like, that, I don't even think that was, like, fully revealed. like
in season one. They did talk about the book deal. Yes. So I guess if you were reading the subtext, you probably could have assumed. Yes. But I didn't even until you just said it. And then I was like, oh, that's a good point. She was literally making money off of this poor child she already had.
Yes. And
now she wanted another one.
She's estranged from that child that the book now is written about.
Yeah, because he's living with his dad, right?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
And he never saw a dime. Although
I feel like they should have made him a good parent who wrote a book about how
a good parent would have, we are far from.
First of all, the book wouldn't have probably been written if it was. It would be about the kid and not the parenting
style. I'm not a parent, but like,
nor am I.
It was so difficult to watch, you know, just because like you can't imagine. Oh my God. This poor girl was hard to watch. This poor girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just get into what.
So she wants to adopt.
She this is like the scheme, and you know, and so they do decide to adopt Natalia. And to give full context, Natalia is a little person, mm-hmm. and she has some like physical disabilities.
Yeah.
Like she has to wear specialized. There are actual skeletal and mm-hmm. muscular and tendon issues. Like she can't fully use her fingers. Like she has difficulty grasping.
Which is super common with dwarfism, unfortunately, too.
Yes.
Like you're going to come with a grab bag of issues. She has a specific
kind, and I'm not sure the exact kind. I can look it up. We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah.
Just for, you know, specificity, but you know, she had special needs, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
She was totally, you know, like mentally, she was on grade level.
Yeah.
You know,
like she's a sharp kid.
Very sharp.
She's a sharp kid.
And she had to grow up fast.
Yeah.
If you were in the system and you know, bounce around from families, like you have to grow up really, really fast.
Yeah. You learn how to build emotional walls at a very young age.
And so she did seem very mature for her age. And mm-hmm. I believe she was because 7 years
trauma.
Old. Yeah. It'll do it to you.
7 years
old. But I believe she was 7 years old when she was adopted by the Barnetts.
Yeah.
I don't think that Christine accounted that, you know, she would need so much, you know, because so much attention and specialized,
and
you know,
surgeries.
Doctor's appointments and surgeries and proper medical equipment, mm-hmm. which she did not provide her with.
No, why would she?
Why would she do that?
Why would she? She's just her legal guardian now.
Yeah, you know, no big deal.
No big deal.
So they, in season one, like one of the first, like, things that the Barnetts say, like, they noticed and that was like, oh, this made them think that perhaps Natalia was not the age that she said she was, and it was that she had full pubic hair.
Which we talked about in the last episode, I think, because I think I mentioned, or maybe you mentioned this, that can also happen in cases of sexual abuse.
It can.
In a young child.
It can. And also, you know, like, there's no real set age.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That like you. For,
I had a cousin who hit puberty at 9.
Right. It can really happen.
Yeah.
It stranger things have happened. So anyway, they Christine, and here's the thing, you know, originally when I watched the first season, I was like, okay, so they actually think that maybe that she is a different age.
Mm-hmm.
But
like, it's a genuine thought in season one. Yeah.
But we come to find out,
there's the dwarfism type. If
you okay, so we do mouthful. we do have the condition that she had, and it's spondyloepiphyseal dysplasia congenita.
We'll probably still put that in the show notes because that's a mouthful. But that's
but the poor thing, like she had like serious physical disabilities.
Yeah.
And despite that, she was like a pretty happy-go-lucky kid.
She was an upbeat child. Despite
everything that had occurred to her.
Yeah.
So, anyway, where was I?
All of the, like, health attention she was not expecting.
So, when I watched the first season,
we
think that, like, some of this abuse began because they thought that they were being scammed by someone that was older.
You almost, I have a lot of storytelling thoughts at the end of you summing this up.
Because you almost are like, you're almost like, oh my God, mm-hmm. you know, that's how horrible.
This documentary was diabolically done.
Yeah.
Like, it was so well staged.
Oh, yeah. Because you're maybe it's possible.
You're almost convinced in season one that Michael might be... If it weren't for Michael being Michael, you would have probably almost believed it.
For sure. And Michael, he's like a different level because like he is so far up Christine's ass too. It's so really bizarre. Is. It's like and completely complicit in everything. But we find out that Natalia has been to multiple doctors. Christine has taken her to multiple doctors and asked, like, you know, could she possibly, she has planted the idea in multiple doctors' heads that like, is it possible that she could be older? And we have dental records where she has mostly baby teeth. We have, you know, multiple doctors that say she's probably between, you know, seven to 10, something like that.
Yeah.
Like it's between that age. She's which obviously, she's a child. Is. Yes. Yeah. She's obviously a child.
Dental records are how they identify the ages of corpses. They sure as heck can probably tell you how old your child is.
Right. So Christine and Michael have this information from multiple doctors that she is in fact a child.
Mm-hmm.
However, that does not stop Christine from trying to push the narrative that she is older. So when you, I believe, they're, like, if you're an adopted person, you're no longer, like, the responsibility of the parents when you reach the age of 21. So the age that Christine was really pushing for was
22.
That was the magic number.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just...
Makes sense.
And we also... the crazy thing is, like, you know, in Michael's testimony, he said that she had a period. She was hiding her period mm-hmm. from the mom and dad. She would hide her dirty underwear, whatever. This was not the case.
Of course it wasn't the case.
This is really awful, but I feel like I have to include it because this is the severity of the abuse. And this is a trigger warning, you know, especially for childhood sexual abuse. Please turn this off. Skip ahead.
Skip ahead like a minute, probably.
Yeah. But I feel like it's really important to include this because this girl suffered at the hands of these people.
Yeah.
And this is the extent that Christine went to push this narrative. So at the time, Natalia was 7 years old. And Christine said, you are starting, you're having your period. And she doesn't even know what that is.
Because she said so.
Yeah, because she said so.
You definitely started your period.
And so she handed her a tampon and said, you have to use this. You have to use this.
This for the period you don't have.
For the period that she doesn't have mm-hmm. and that doesn't fully even understand what that is.
Not many seven-year-olds do know what a period is.
She forced her to use this when, you know, and like...
Which is sexual abuse.
Absolutely.
It's going right up your thing.
Absolutely.
And if you're a seven-year-old.
It's not made. You're not developed enough for that. Yes, absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
And so
I want to punch something.
Right? It made me, I was like bawling watching this, you know, because it's, I can't imagine.
That's traumatizing.
How, oh my God, it was traumatizing to hear.
Heavily traumatizing.
That was traumatizing to hear.
Yeah.
So, like, I couldn't imagine, you know, like, my God.
I can't imagine the kind of mental anguish this poor girl had when she did genuinely start her period.
Right.
Like, how do you actually function
with
the real thing when you were, like, forced to do something like that when didn't need to?
Like, okay, so that's, you know, this is just, like, in the beginning, we're pushing this narrative.
Yeah.
And so she's also saying, you know, and like, there's physical abuse.
Yes, for sure.
And Michael said, he watched her beat.
Yeah, he explained that
in his words,
one.
Beat the hell out of her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you have to, okay, for context, she's 7 to 8 years old, maybe 37 pounds.
Yeah, she's
this
tiny.
This is a tiny person.
She's tiny.
And Christine is beating her with fists.
Her body can only
elbows,
handle so much.
Wrists. Beating the heck out of her. And basically, I mean, this is torture at this point.
It is, yeah.
And she's basically saying, like, you have to tell people that you're 22.
She's coaching her to further this narrative.
Of course she's going to say that for fear of being beaten.
So we've gone sexual abuse, physical abuse, and now mental abuse.
And not only, like, the, like, actual beating, you know, they put a lock on her door. Isolated her.
They heavily oppressed her.
Christine pulled her out of school. So she was enrolled in first grade. Christine pulled her out of school.
Was she making friends?
Yes.
Heaven forbid she meet other people.
She was on grade level. She was doing really well. The teacher said she was a delight.
Because she is.
Yes.
She's
Christine
a dang
pulled
delight.
Her out of school to isolate her.
Oh, my gosh.
And honestly, the reason that she, like, she pulled her out of school is because the teachers thought maybe there was something going on.
At home. At home. Because teachers will notice that. Absolutely. They're going to notice when her behavior changes a little bit.
They know that.
Yeah.
I used to work in a public school, and I had to call CPS all the time.
Aren't they literally trained to look for warning signs?
You're a mandated reporter.
Yes, exactly.
You're a mandated reporter when you work with children.
That's like, I'm pretty pro homeschooling too, but this is one downside to homeschooling, yes, is stuff like that.
With monsters like that.
Happening. Yes. Correct. Yeah.
And so she pulls her out of school.
And quote unquote homeschools her.
Yes. But she tells everybody it's because Natalia was violent. Mm-hmm. She was ramming people with her wheelchair. She was doing all these things.
Being a menace. As this imaginary child is. Good grief.
So not only, you know, did she physically beat her for no reason, you know.
Yeah.
This isn't for any reason except for, you know, Christine's an insane person. Mm-hmm. And at this point, Natalia is not the moneymaker that she had hoped.
So she's disappointed.
And also, she, you know, she has needs.
She's high maintenance because you're adopting a little girl with physical special needs.
How dare.
Did she not even look into this, like, at all?
It didn't matter. So little research. That's the thing. Like, it didn't matter.
It's amazing, though, because as diabolical as she is right now in how she's setting this narrative up, you would think she would use that kind of brain power to pick a kid that she could actually extort.
I mean,
Exploit for her own fame. Like, she should have used that kind of attention to detail to the kid she was adopting.
Yeah.
And not maybe pick a child with
that are like really far in the narcissistic spectrum, though, can be like quite delusional.
They're straight stupid.
Yeah, and they believe in their own ability.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah, it can be very dangerous. Obviously.
Yeah. Case in point.
But she went as far as to pepper spray Natalia.
That hurts.
My God.
That hurts if you're the one.
It can blind you.
Even if you're the one pepper spraying, that hurts because it blows up in your face.
You know, there was all kinds of abuse that made her walk around the block when she can barely walk.
Yeah, she hobbles.
Yes.
That's why she has like a wheelchair and a walker.
You know, as an adult, she requires a walker to get around.
Yeah.
So anyway, all of this is occurring and Michael is there.
Watching and letting it happen.
Enabling. And enabling. And
I hate that man.
And telling everybody else that this is what's happening.
He's like up there with Chris Watts.
Completely complicit.
Yeah.
And you know, they convince the family doctor that she is older than what she is. She's violent. She's all these different things.
And that's enough, just one family doc?
Yep.
Is that what got it legally?
They had paperwork from one doctor. And from, you know, I think maybe from something else that Christine basically explained. So here's the thing about documentation.
Yeah.
I used to do individual education plans.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that was self-reporting. So I would document things that a parent would tell me.
Okay.
So that means it's documented and it's on a piece of paper. So if Christine would tell different organizations that this is what's happening, they're going to write that on the paperwork.
Okay.
It's going to be on the paperwork.
Yeah.
So she's using this as, this is fact.
This is evidence.
This is evidence.
Even though it's just documented. Saying. She's just blowing smoke.
Absolutely.
It infuriates me. And I mean, I think I talked about this when we were talking about the trial at the end of season one against Michael that was like, he was acquitted and stuff, and I was super mad. And I was more mad that the judge did not allow any discussion about her age to happen. So I'm the same kind of legal fury that I have right now is, why didn't it take more than one doctor's signature?
And the fact that Natalia wasn't even present.
Because if the dentist is like, she's between like, you know, six
not
and
just the
nine
dentist, they
something.
Did genetic testing. Like, they did all these. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Why did, legally, why wasn't Christine required to provide a lot more documentation
this, like, you know, there's definitely a sense of what's discrimination against people with disabilities? What's
ableism?
It's definitely, there's some ableism here.
Yeah.
And also that you know, you're trusting the word of this
mother,
white woman
who's very manipulative.
Also extremely manipulative.
Actually, when I watched season one with my sister, who's on the other podcast that we've got, Becca actually was like, well, I mean, Gypsy Rose, her mom,
right,
was able to convince,
yes,
get all these doctors to, yes, give them medication for a, yep, condition she didn't have. So, yes, it really, if you're something persuasive as extreme enough, yeah, as the Gypsy Rose Blanchard case, right, can be, like, I guess this isn't too far-fetched for,
no,
her to,
absolutely,
just,
no, she wanted
people, she's right.
She wanted it bad enough, and she got it.
Wow.
So, and Natalia was not even present when they had her re-aged. And so once they legally, mm-hmm, had her re-aged, yeah, I believe she was like 8.
Yeah.
And they aged her to 22.
Yeah.
So then, and in the meantime, Christine has taken her to mental hospitals and tried to...
Just to offload her, just to
get basically,
rid of her.
And also to just like, yeah, because I don't think she doesn't want her anymore. And also, like, maybe, like, it, you know, and I think part of it, too, is to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you, like, when all these things are happening, when she tells her friends, oh, this is happening, you know, we had to take her to a mental hospital. Like, you are getting attention from,
yes,
people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you're getting,
yeah,
you're getting condolences and,
yeah,
but you're getting some kind of attention. And I think she feeds off of that, which is just really, really interesting and, yeah, horrific. So anyway, she bounced around and she was an adult section, mm-hmm, of a mental hospital.
That's
mind
scary.
You, which is horrifying.
That's scary. I wouldn't even want to be in an adult section of a mental hospital.
No.
A child being there?
And she was exposed to
so much
that she shouldn't be.
No.
And conversations that are not okay
for kids.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so then she gets out of the hospital and they decide, we're going to put you in an apartment.
Oh, yeah. The apartment part was in season one for sure.
Yes.
Which is
so
insane.
So they put her in an apartment.
As a small child.
As a 7 or 8 year old girl with zero life skills.
And a physical disability.
With no accommodations.
Even if she was actually 22 years old.
This is what I told Biscuit when we were watching it.
She has physical disabilities, yes, and should not be left by herself.
Absolutely. Even if she was an adult.
Even if she was the age they claimed, correct, she should be a dependent,
yes,
of some kind.
Absolutely. So, and that's why I believe both of them should be accountable.
They should both rot in jail.
Totally.
Just rot them.
I mean, I think Christine should get prison justice.
She for sure should.
In my opinion.
And I think she should give a bunch of that money that she maybe still has to the son who actually earned her that money.
Yeah.
That's how that should end. That's how I
for
want
sure.
it to end, guys.
So... Yeah, she is living in an apartment by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, in part one, you get to see the perspective for some of the neighbors. And they're like, yeah, she kind of had weird behavior. You know, she was coming around a lot. This is an 8-year-old child.
Yeah, if you're thinking this is a 22-year-old adult living on her own, then yeah, it's weird and creepy that she's like hanging out with kids and constantly knocking on doors. But if she's an 8-year-old that was never taught social skills, I've met so many 8-year-olds.
And she's
not
alone.
Yeah.
And she's...
What do you think she's going to...
Yes.
She's going to look for people.
She wants a friend. She wants someone she can talk to. Like, some kind of parental figure.
And
you know,
she wants
she's
an
a,
adult
she's a
who
baby.
Can take care of her. Yeah.
Yes. And so, you know, she's very lucky that, like, nothing horrible happened,
yeah,
to her.
Because that could have went in so many directions.
So many directions.
And she probably shouldn't be alive anymore.
Well, the crazy thing, too, is, like... Like, I think they bounced her from, like, 2 different apartments,
mm-hmm,
and she's by herself, and there were times the power went out, there were times she didn't have groceries, she didn't have food, she's just a baby.
She's a baby, she's not gonna be able to problem solve that.
Right. And, like, so then Christine decides, we're moving to Canada. This is literally just her trying to get away from the situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't make any sense, you know. It's not logical. Like,
no.
none of her actions.
None of it makes sense at
no.
all.
No. And so she moves to Canada, her and the kids, and Michael too. And then she decides, I don't really want Michael in my life anymore.
You know, I hate Michael as much as the world's about to hate
yeah.
Michael.
So she makes it really difficult. And anyway, this guy.
Makes his life difficult.
Yeah,
he's
something else. But they end up separating. Michael is half-assedly, like, you know, she's making sure that, like, Natalia's power's on,
mm-hmm,
bringing her groceries, you know, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, eventually she gets I don't know, something happens with, like,
Because they move her to a different place. They move her to a different place. Like a condo or something with stairs that don't make sense. Because I remember that from season one.
Yeah, and I believe, like, the, like, legally, there was a legal issue because, like, she was technically a dependent because she is disabled.
That's right. I think they might have touched on that in the first one because they filmed her, like, taking a trash can down the street.
Yes, and she can barely...
And they're like, oh, look how capable she is. They thought that that was evidence of her being capable, but it actually made them...
look horrible.
And she was became an independent legally, right? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So, you know, gracious. Like, yeah. And so...
She can't even take her trash out. Like, she's physically not capable of even taking her trash out. She absolutely should not be living by herself.
And, you know, like, finally, I'm not sure, like, how she ended up with the... There's some kind of... Do you remember from the first season how she ended up with the man's family?
Oh, she was... Oh, shoot. I feel like she met... the mom grocery shopping.
Yes.
Or the mom found her, like, saw her on the street and then took her grocery shopping.
And stepped in.
Yeah. But it was very much like a divine intervention kind of a thing because it was also a neighborhood that she should have been shot in. Yes. Like, she shouldn't be alive at all.
So the Mrs. Mann's, like, ended up, like, they ended up taking her. Yeah. And, like, she started living with them. And this is while she was living independently. Good. And so, like, they finally, you know, she cut off contact with, you know, the Barnett family. And she finally got officially adopted by the man's family.
Oh, good.
And, you know, like, it took her some time, but she was able to kind of process everything that happened.
That's hard.
Oh, my gosh.
That's hard. That's deep cut healing. Like, that.
Absolutely. And, like, this is not even, like... This is not even counting, like, what happened to her in Ukraine.
Right. This is just the one she remembers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she... And also just the feeling of being bounced around. Like, you're not... That feeling of being unwanted.
Stable. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not stable. And, like, you have this, you know, there's very deep wounds here.
Yeah.
But she... Natalia is fairly sure that some kind of sexual abuse occurred in the Ukraine before she even, you know, left the Ukraine.
That's incredibly common in those orphanages.
Absolutely.
It sucks. It's not good at all.
And so finally, we have a face-off between Natalia and Michael. Michael agrees to come and talk to Natalia, and it ends up happening in two parts. So the first part... I don't even know. Okay, yeah. So at the first meeting...
I think I saw this part.
Yes, the pastor, like her adopted dad
asked him to stop swearing, right?
Asked him to stop swearing. He kind of like...
Which is a reasonable request.
And then Michael's lawyer stepped in, and they kind of get in an argument, and then Michael, like, storms the little off. Baby that he is, like, he's like, I can't do this. And so, like, his actions, the way that he speaks, the way that he tells a story, it's all very, it's hysterical. It's, like, theatrical.
He's putting on a show.
It is, like, a performance.
Oh, my gosh. That was, like, the only 5 minutes that I think I saw and retained was when... Because I thought, how insane. This man is just kindly asking you to stop swearing.
It's not a big ask. It's not a huge ask.
Like, just be respectful. And they fly off the handle.
Yeah.
What the heck?
So he runs out like a little baby and drives away. But then decides that he's going to come back. And see, this is also part of that histrionic type personality. Is like
the overreactions to literally everything.
They're also hypersensitive people, like very sensitive to criticism. That's true with narcissistic personality too.
Right. I see why these two found each other.
Well, and they're actually like
they're very closely.
They're cluster B personality disorders, and so histrionic and narcissism are like very close.
They're cousins. Yes. They're close cousins.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And usually histrionic personality is in women. It's primarily...
Oh!
Yes. And if you notice, like, Michael has a lot of...
He has a female energy about him.
Yes.
I can see that.
And Miska and I talked about that, because it was like, there's very much like a...
I got gay vibes from him.
I did too.
When he remarried a woman, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought
it was
he
a little
was
surprising,
because
he's very feminine.
Yeah, he is, yeah. And his reactions are very...
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
If a woman was reacting like that, I don't even think I would... laugh as hard as I did. I laughed every time reacted to stuff, because I'm like, you are over the top, my
dude.
It's wild. Yeah.
And what a crackpot. It is quite something to watch him. So anyway, he agrees to come back and refuses to dock, like, his... you got to be careful about what you talk about because they might run out. But anyway, he pulls up in a convertible. It's got to be like a Porsche. It's a really nice, expensive car. And it's like blasting. It's blasting some kind of stupid music.
Britney Spears.
No, it's just it's some kind of like you can tell that he thinks he's very cool.
Oh my gosh.
And he was like
midlife crisis kind of vibe.
That's exactly what Miskin said. And he pulls up. He has a backwards hat on. He has a t-shirt that's like
backwards.
Yes.
Hat on.
Like, no. I had to pause it, like, while I was watching it, because it was so infuriating to watch. I was just like, this guy is, like, not even real. The other thing about histrionic personality, and this is the true of narcissism as well, is, like, they cannot perceive themselves the way that others perceive them. They have a very different self-perception.
Sure, yeah. So he thinks he's the dopest dude.
For sure.
But he looks like a straight psycho.
A dingus. He looks
a total.
He's dressed
dingus.
Like a 16-year-old.
Oh my gosh!
And
gosh.
And really, that's kind of the mentality.
Yeah.
So I mean, these are very emotionally stunted people.
Yes,
clearly,
right?
And so he pulls up. He has a Fight Club T-shirt. It's not Fight Club itself, but it's a reference.
Oh, got it.
So he definitely
thinks.
You know, he's a cool guy.
He's super cool. Outdated
for sure.
Pop culture references.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Again, honestly, though, if I had seen, like, a stable man wearing that shirt, I'd be like, that's super cool. But on him, it just adds to the ridiculous nature of his whole image.
Anyway.
He's really undercutting every effect.
This guy is trying so hard. So anyway, we have the meeting, and, you know, poor Natalia, she wants answers. Because she deserves them.
She does deserve answers.
And, you know, the entire time Michael makes it about him, and all the blame goes to Christine.
Oh, he did that. Yeah, he did that in the first season. I'm not surprised by this.
All the blame. And also that he is a victim as well.
Because, yes, that's also what he pushed in the first season. What an idiot. There's only, like, I'm not... Men get abused just like women.
Absolutely.
However.
And there is probably a level of that there.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying that, like, he wasn't, like...
He probably was abused.
Verbally abused. Mentally abused. I'm sure, because that was her personality.
But for a man, no matter how abused he is, to allow that kind of actions toward a child that he's adopted...
Correct.
That is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Absolutely. He's just as culpable at that point.
For anybody to stand idly by while that happens, when you could call the police or you could get somebody, that's unacceptable.
Yes.
And you should be accountable.
That's why I don't know if you remember in the Eldon Samuel case, I had really strong feelings against the mom, even though she tried to pull the victim card. She was like so sad, like he's all I have left. It was the same kind of thing. She claimed it was an abusive, unsafe household. Why didn't you take your kids?
Yes.
You have a responsibility to protect your children. And Michael's the same way. It goes both ways. You can claim to be abused, and that's fine. You probably were.
Yes, and I agree that he probably was.
Yeah, because this dude who... Okay, honest, this is terrible. I'm going to get canceled for saying this. I'd abuse him, too. He's an idiot. This guy is the biggest doofus.
Well, and Case and I, we talked about it because, like, honestly, her personality required a weaker personality that she could rule.
A passive, passive man.
Yes, and that is what he was.
That is what he
and,
was. No spine in that dude.
Yeah, and it's just such a shame. It's just such a shame because it was like the perfect mix for Natalia to be completely used and abused.
She was doomed from the start.
You can tell that, and honestly, from watching her, you can tell when somebody's lying.
Yeah.
And she was very real and very genuine. And, like, a lot of, like, what Michael was saying seemed to be put on. There could have been some genuine moments, but, like, this is just reading body language, and this is just, you know, noticing, you know, and from watching, like, interrogations and stuff, and, like, some of, like, you know, like, there are tells that we do when we are lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she seemed very genuine.
Yeah.
So I believe her.
I believe her.
Even if, you know, and the very bizarre thing is that Michael's lawyer kept trying to paint, like he was like, you know, Natalia had behavior issues and different things, like, in each family, and, like, she needs to be, you know, she needs to be held accountable. But it was like, you know...
She was a child, though.
She was a child, and she very much likely had reactive attachment disorder.
Yes.
And she was bounced around from home to home, and it would really be unrealistic for her to not have some behavior
She's gonna come with so much baggage. To expect to have to like deprogram the trauma of her.
Absolutely.
Deprogram is the worst word I could have used. Is that what it is?
I mean, it would be like to help her heal.
Yeah, like reverse that, like, because she's probably,
provide support and stability and love.
To heal.
Yes.
To let her heal.
To give her the space in order to heal.
Yeah.
But they literally
sound like she was in a cult.
I mean, but
you do have to like untrain your brain.
Well, from the abuse that she got from Christine, because she was telling her, you have to, this is the truth.
Yeah.
Extreme gaslighting.
In the biggest way.
In the biggest way.
That's your literal identity and age and everything.
Crazy.
Wow.
But, you know, they eventually do agree that, you know, Christine is a monster and, you know.
They come to that conclusion.
And it's very sweet because, you know, Michael, he did apologize for, you know, things that happened and that. You know, he went through some stuff too because Christine did use his children against him.
Yeah, and that's not fair.
He has not been able to see his two youngest.
Right.
Which is because Christine basically she had gotten a heated argument. She recorded a heated argument where he said something.
To threaten to kill her?
Yes.
I think I saw that in a trailer or something. Yeah.
And, basically talked to the police and said that you can't see the children.
Because you're dangerous.
And also told the children that
Dad
is dangerous, he's gonna kill you.
Oh my gosh.
And so
she's thorough. I'll give her that.
Very.
She's thorough.
When she has an agenda.
She's not the shrewdest cookie all the time.
When she has an agenda.
She's,
my God.
Thorough, yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
And so, anyway, you know, like, so there was some real pain there that Michael had, too. And actually.
Yeah, I feel like the divorce, him talking about the divorce is the only time I believe anything he said.
Yes, but because he gets very emotional.
I do believe that that is actually how it played out.
And Natalia does bring up things, and he will say a response, and then we have video evidence that that is a lie.
Yeah.
And so, like, just like Natalia would ask him, you know, did you know about this? And he'll say, I just found out about that. But we know that
actually
that's not true.
Said it in an interview because he's a big idiot.
He's a dingus too.
I don't want people to actually be liars, but if you're going to be a liar, be a better liar. Like, be more.
Be
as thorough as your ex-wife.
It's crazy. And so anyway, at the end of this, you know, meeting, Natalia does ask if she could pray for him. And they have like a kind of a sweet moment. And
Does she do it there on camera?
And you know, he leaves, and you could tell like both parties do feel better about things.
Good.
But Natalia absolutely says that he should be held accountable, which we totally agree.
Yes.
Because he is just as
He's complicit. He definitely committed crimes.
You know, I think he thought like all is forgiven, but my dude,
no, stuff's gonna still happen
for sure.
Like, you're not scot-free right now.
Yes. So we kind of end the documentary with Natalia officially being adopted by the man's family. And things seem really good. But then there's a cliffhanger.
No.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
I want resolution.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you. Biscuit was upset.
What was it?
So at the very, very, very end of the documentary, we have a call from the pastor, Mance, that Natalia, she's tearing apart our family. We don't want anything to do with her anymore. You know, she's did something over a lie. So it's very.
Wait, he says Natalia's name?
Yes.
That Natalia specifically, he didn't just say she.
He said her name. So we end with knowing that there's some kind of. There's something that has occurred in the man's household. Natalia is no longer living there. And we're not sure exactly what kind of drama has taken place, but it definitely leaves you on a cliffhanger. I think that there's going to be another season. I think that it was probably over money, because who knows how much Natalia was getting for the Netflix
deal. Yeah.
And, you know, if she was offered another opportunity, that is my suspicion.
Okay.
So they make it like intentionally vague.
Okay. Can I comment on the storytelling now?
Absolutely.
So season one, they from a doc. I'm gonna remove myself emotionally from the entire story itself from a documentarian's perspective. If you're plotting this like compelling story about this poor girl, you start off focusing on Michael and mm-hmm. Michael's perspective, mm-hmm. and then eventually you're like, oh, guess what? Plot twist: Natalia's speaking out. And then at the end, you leave it off like that. They are stirring up stuff. I'm kind of mad now.
Yes.
I'm kind of mad. They're stirring it up to make more money.
Correct.
That's just how they framed the story, like they were already trying to build up to that. I want my prediction. Season three is going to feature Christine.
Well, they did say that they reached out to Christine for comment, yeah. and she declined. But I wonder.
I think she's... Why would you do season three?
The way that they ended it... It was intentionally vague. So I think that there...
Do you think it could have been taken out of context? Do you think it could have been...
No.
No, I mean, chopped scene, like, audio.
I mean, it's possible, but, you know, we, like, actually rewound it because we were so disturbed by it. You know, because we wanted resolution, too. Mm-hmm. This poor girl has gone through so much, we just want her to have a happy ending.
Yeah.
And, you know, we actually rewound it to listen to it again. And it did seem very much like there was some kind of upset and that she wasn't living there anymore. And I believe, like, the last line is, like, Natalia's story is to be continued. So it definitely leaves it open for something else. But I'm sure that this was a huge moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, Netflix being the huge, you know.
Oh, HBO.
Well,
or oh, yeah, Investigation, was
it?
Discovery?
Whatever it is. Like whatever that. Platform
whatever
it
platform
is.
Did it. Whatever studio.
Yeah, I don't believe it was Netflix. Sorry, Netflix. But, you know, you do shit,
it's
too.
Fine. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely.
I think this is the downside of true crime being so sensationalized is, yeah, we're getting story and awareness out there, but, like, cases like this don't.
People get exploited.
They don't. Yeah, exactly. Or they get so wrapped up in the attention they're getting for the case. Mm-hmm. That it suddenly becomes commercialized rather
yes.
than
yes.
me trying
yes.
to heal from the experience. Yes. So I'm kind of really upset that they would even try to do a season three.
Maybe we need another, like, mini-sode about Gypsy Rose.
Because I have she's an influencer now.
I have a lot of thoughts.
Influencer Gypsy.
I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Yeah, we should do a mini-sode about Gypsy Rose. That's the same kind of thing where I being true crime podcasters, we obviously do believe that there's, like, an advantage to talking about it.
Sure.
But there is a line.
Absolutely.
There
and you have to respect
line.
Like they like when you're talking about true crime, people have lost their lives.
Yeah. People have lost their lives. And the victims that are still alive, like people like Natalia Grace and Gypsy Rose, if they get so wrapped up in it, that like delays their actual healing. Because
for sure.
they're gonna just live in the crime to make more money for longer.
And you relive it.
Healthy.
And you relive it.
It's
and
not
it's,
healthy.
Absolutely.
It's not healthy. Oh, man. I'm riled now.
So, yeah. I mean, this was... and I hope I hit all the points. I mean, there was a lot to the documentary. Like, you know, there
well,
was a lot
go watch
to
watch it
unpack.
Yourself if
yeah,
you
watch
don't.
Yeah, watch it yourself. And, you know, you might have a, like, totally different opinion than I do. But, yeah.
I don't really want a season three. I want her to
Dude,
be able to...
I wanted it to be over.
After she's... They legally adopted her. Like, the story can end. The story for us can end. If it
not for those filmmakers, not they for, were
they're
so
like, I'm
they're gonna, ready for part three.
Because the way they edited season one, so like the end of season one. If you guys haven't seen it already, and I think we talked about this ending specifically in the last minisode when we talked about this, they show him something on an iPad. And then he flips out and storms out, and that's their cliffhanger.
Uh-huh.
But we misunderstood it because I was thinking, worst case scenario, like, oh, someone's accusing him of sexually assaulting Natalia. That was immediately where my head went.
And they actually...
And that's why he's so mad about it.
Yeah.
But that wasn't like...
I don't even think they even...
So
they did show him a video, and this was... oh, my God, I totally missed this part. Like, Christine had, like, tried to set Natalia up on a date with a grown man who was also a little person. Yeah, they do...
They talked about that in season one.
And like she dolled her up in makeup, and she's like so little. Like they show a picture. She's a baby.
She's a small child.
So anyway, Christine had told this guy, I think his name is Freddie, like all this
yeah,
crazy
they
stuff.
Interviewed him in the first season.
Yes. And he
so
would
that's
he
all
seemed
it was?
Like
that's all he was shown on the
Well,
iPad?
Apparently Christine had told him that Natalia had slept with Michael and then like also a neighbor guy and like, you know, different things.
Okay. Okay.
And he was just like, that's not true. And also Natalia was like, that's not true.
Yeah.
So clearly Christine, she's
a huge liar.
Well, we know this is true. So that was just, that was probably the,
okay,
the footage or whatever. But yeah, they definitely edited it to like, it's very like,
they're telling a story.
Yeah. And it's almost like, reality TV type vibes.
You only film the dramatic parts.
Yes.
You edit it in such a way that you're not immediately revealing everything to the audience.
Yes.
It's a story to them.
Yes.
But in the worst way.
Yes.
It's not like this is a crime that happened. Because like there are some documentaries we've watched and talked about. Like Netflix does a good job with this, I think.
Yes.
Where they frame it like you feel the gravity of the case the entire time and it's not overly dramatic.
I felt
it's
that way about the cult of mother, the cult of mother God.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I
yeah.
feel like they
on Max.
They handle that very like with sensitivity.
You have to be tasteful when you do stuff like this
because the subject matter is so,
it's so sensitive.
So sensitive.
Yeah. If you approach it like a Hollywood movie plot, like this team is doing.
Well, and also putting those two together, like she's literally coming face to face with someone that
an
like,
abuser.
Yes.
Her abuser.
Yes.
That's not to be taken lightly, but they did it as if they are anticipating a fight.
Yes.
And they film him. It's all. I don't know. I don't trust the storytellers of this documentary anymore. The first season, I was, like, emotionally invested. And
right.
I was like, I want to hear Natalia's side. But now I'm not, I don't know, even know if I would want to watch season three. I think I would just read the cliff notes somewhere at this point. Because I'm mad at them. I'm mad.
It's very interesting
the documentarians.
The way that they, yeah, the way that they frame everything.
Stupid. Well, this was still a good one to cover. We needed an update on the case.
It was crazy.
Are they pursuing anything else legally, though? Or
no,
is it literally that cliffhanger?
I mean, I know that she wants to.
Yeah.
And she
like
should.
Criminal charges?
Yes, she should.
Okay.
And I'm not sure about the statute of limitations,
yeah,
but...
Yeah, it's tricky, because she's, like, 20 now, isn't she?
I think she was 19 in the documentary.
Okay.
So, I am not entirely sure. I know that she wants to pursue it.
Okay.
And I think that she should.
Yeah, I think she should, too.
But, yeah.
I think at some point, you know.
Y'all should watch it. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be our question.
Do you hate it as much as Renee does?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Do you hate the documentarians as much as Renee does? Rather, we all hate the case because the family's terrible.
Yeah.
But what do you actually think?
You know what's also crazy? Like, before we wrap up, I've been, like, reading the comments on a lot of social media, and there's still, like, a lot of people that are like, she tricked them.
There's people believing Michael and Christine.
Which I'm like...
This is madness.
Maybe they didn't watch it, or, like...
Maybe... Because I actually do remember the first time she was in the news. That's how it was reading.
Yes.
Like this.
That's how they presented the story.
So if they're still clinging to that information instead of watching the updated information, I could see why they'd be like, yeah she's a con artist. We all saw the horror
but
movie.
But I saw like a lot of comments like that. And it was very like.
It's alarming.
Yeah. It was really interesting because it was like both sides could be bad. And I'm like, she was like a literal child.
She was a literal child. How?
And like. You know, like
those can be bad if they're not raised right. But
yeah,
also,
like you
not,
can have oppositional defiant. Like you can have. I'm not saying that like children can't be
bad kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, they're not as accountable as the adults.
And we
are.
Also we also know that Michael witnessed her being beaten.
Yeah.
We know that Michael was told that she was pepper sprayed.
Well, and the son. The older son even said,
"Yes,
I even had to.
I kicked her down the stairs.
Yeah, because mom told me to.
Yes,
yeah. So this, there's like,
so
this
not
is
only
not
was
refutable.
She, yes, we know this information.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
True.
So she
so,
was abused.
Absolutely,
it's a fact. It's a fact. Wow, what a case.
I know, man.
What a crazy, curious case of Natalia Grace.
For sure. Y'all should watch it.
I'm
tell
so
us what you think.
Now. Yeah, tell us what you think. Give us your opinion.
Yeah.
If you actually, I think taking in like documentary recommendations would be a fun.
Oh,
thing
for sure.
Too. I mean, we've watched most of them, but if there's
I
one
love
we've,
it.
If there's one we've missed,
yeah,
and you've
please
seen it and be like, you guys have
give
to
us,
do this.
Either DM us and also just for those who have DM'd us about cases,
they're
are
on
the
list. Oh, we should wrap that up with that. So the next couple of cases that we're covering that'll be full length episodes. Actually, this one's almost an hour, but like a regular full case. We're doing the BTK killer.
Yes, that was a recommendation.
You've been heard and seen because I think that was a message. We will also be, I mean, I already promised Mindy we'd talk about the psycho
Yeah, American Psycho guy. I do know one listener that's waiting for that one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That one's going to be so crazy.
The family member.
So we are waiting. That one, I really, really, really want to do video content for that because
we're working on video, guy. We have some equipment, so we're working on
getting a little more profesh. We want it to look really good for you guys when we launch it. But this one, if we do the American Psycho case before we do video content, I promise you, we will post reels of excerpts from the interrogation footage because it's wild.
Yes.
This little boy is crazy. He is an American psycho. Not Patrick Bateman, like
he wanted
elegance,
to be.
but he wanted to be. Yeah, it's crazy. It's coming, guys, don't worry. And we have made a list of all of the requests and it's gonna be filtered throughout the year. So
we're working on it.
Keep an ear out and you'll hear it. And we will see you next time.
Okay, bye.